Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. This is Saturday, and we are embarking upon our new topic of Nature's Remedy. And we've been talking about several schools of thoughts in this room this week, and we are finishing up our weekend with the topic of Hard Knocks of School. And we've been talking about how to overcome challenges, how to be able to be the best that we can be in spite of our difficulties of disabilities. And one of the things that we're talking about this evening is how our ability to write poetry can be a healing mechanism and how it can be a form of medicine. And I'm sure you've heard the term likened to a medicine. Healing can possibly come from writing poetry, being able to sedate ourselves and to heal ourselves. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about how we can use a form of meditation to utilize that to help mend our broken hearts and heal ourselves from different types of offsets or problems. And I'd like to invite you to be a part of the show today. If you're not out there and dialed in, please get dialed in at 646-478-0270 and lock yourself in, little G. Why don't you just keep it right there? Keep that knob there and don't move it. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. And I'll be back at you in the atmosphere as we take a station identification on Station Field. And we'll be right back at you in a second. We'll be ready to
begin. Every day, from the moment I faith in a heart when it seems that our lives are falling apart. Dreams from the night follow me when I rise, and my fears bring tears to my eyes. Will our hope be realized?
Welcome back, family. And thank you so very much for joining us this evening. And those phone lines are open now if you care to call in. This is the Care to Read Room if you are confused about where you are. And we do acknowledge our higher self and acknowledge God in this room. So stand with me as I go over to the throne of grace and as I offer up praise and worshiping to all of our ancestors. We acknowledge our ancestors because we'd be a damn fool if we didn't recognize who our ancestors were. We stand on their shoulders. As you go over with me, I like to acknowledge my father's spirit, Obatala, and I'd like to pour libation to my father's spirit, Obatala. I like to also call on my mother's spirit, which is Yamenja. Can you say Yamenja? And we call her Yeye. And as I acknowledge my mother spirit, I call out my real biological mother spirit, which is Clara Jenkins, and I say Ashe, and my father, Robert Jenkins, and I say Ashe. And I also give homage to God and say Ashe to Oludulamah Ray. And we call him Oludulamah Ray, and we know that Olorun is considered as our prophet, Olorun. And we say Ashe. We ask God that he would actually permeate this room and that he would send the ancestors and that he would send all of our heroes and sheroes, Sheikh S. Diox, Dr. Carruthers, Dr. John Henry Clark. We call on Dr. Martin Luther King and Sweet Coretta King. And we call on Nina Simone and ask that they be present here today as they will give us the strength that we need to go on and give us the assistance that we need. And we ask that every household that's present and represented here today, that they might have the desires of their heart, and you might meet them at the point of their need, God, and that you might assist them. And may we use our gift of writing to be likened to a medicine. May we use poetry as a healing mechanism, likened to a medicine. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you and give you all the glory and honor. We say to God be the glory. And we thank you for that opportunity to go over in prayer. I'm going to go say hello to my guests right now. And we are continuing the show with the duet team, and that's Michelle Banks and Richard Graham. Now, Michelle won't be with us this evening, but Richard chose to come on to be a part of the show. And we've asked Richard to come back to talk to us a little bit about how can writing poetry be likened to a medicine, a method for healing you of problems that we go through from day to day. And we can't say that we're exempt from problems. We're going to probably always have some form of problems. And as we look at the problems that we have to say that we're going to always have 99 problems. And when we get rid of those one, there's always one to replace it. However, we have to find things that we can do to manifest in our life to use to heal us, so that we find some happiness and some joy in this world. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I found joy and happiness in writing poetry and being able to express through the form of poetry. And I'm going to invite our guest on to talk a little bit about who he is, where his background came from for writing, and ask him to talk a little bit about the events that they're about to do in the area. This brother is from Washington, D.C., by way of a little town called Morrisdale, Pennsylvania. And most of you know I grew up in Pennsylvania in a little town called Meadsville, Pennsylvania, so I'm quite familiar with that area. And he also started writing poetry. He started working with Michelle, but I want him to give you a little bit more information about himself and to talk a little bit about Michelle and how the two of them met and what they're doing in their careers. So I'll bring him on now, and he can tell you all about it. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hey, good evening, Sherelle. I'm very, very well.
Good evening. Good evening. And we're going to get you in the atmosphere, Richard. And not to further ado anything, we're going to bring you on and ask you if you'll tell us a little bit about yourself, Richard, how you got into writing, and how did you and Michelle begin to work together, and what commonalities do you have in writing poetry, and how does writing poetry heal your broken heart or mend your broken heart? Tell us a little bit about it. You're in the atmosphere.
Oh, okay, sure. I actually started writing when I was young, when I was in high school and everything. Didn't really do a lot with it. After I graduated high school, I left a little small town in Morrisdale, Pennsylvania, and joined the Marine Corps to travel the world in the United States. Me and Michelle met actually on a dating website, an interracial dating website. That's how we met. It was after we met, though, that we decided to combine our efforts together and produce a show that would cross the boundaries between communication boundaries between the deaf and the hearing cultures. Because of the fact that Michelle is deaf and I am hearing, And it was a collaboration of our own thoughts and our feelings as to what we would like to do. The show is called Insight and Sound, Live Death Poetry. It's going to be at the Busboys and Poets in Hyattsville, Maryland. And the address for that is 5331 Baltimore Ave, Hyattsville, Maryland. It's going to be on Veterans Day, November 11th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We have a very diverse group of artists who are very talented from both the deaf and hearing communities and interpreters from both sides of the audience as well. So that way when an artist is performing in American Sign Language, there'll be an interpreter there to speak for them. And then when a hearing artist is performing, the interpreter will perform an ASL for that artist to the audience who is deaf.
Now, let me ask you a question, Richard, because we are talking a little bit about Veterans Day. I understand you're having your event on Veterans Day, and you are a former Marine veteran. I'd like to also talk a little bit about the aspect of the Marine and to speak to those soldiers that are out there right now who might not have a haven or an outlet for releasing themselves from debriefing, from being abroad or being still in the military. What type of advice would you have for them in writing poetry, and how can they get started in writing poetry to help them to release themselves and possibly prevent themselves from having a gasket and blowing out and having to have full-blown treatment? What would you recommend to them?
I actually use my writing as a form of treatment. It's not always easy for me to talk about or describe what I'm feeling at the time, or some of the images that still haunt me to this day. So what I do is I release it by writing about it. And writing about it is really easy. Despite whether or not somebody thinks they're good at it or not is irrelevant. Just picking up a pad and a pen, and you just start writing. And sometimes it'll be frustrating sometimes because maybe you can't put it out the way you want it, but just put it out, and it'll help. I know it helps me a great deal. I use it not only – I've only just started performing my work, but prior to that I used it as a form of therapy because – sometimes you feel like there's nobody you can talk to when there's actually a lot of people out there going through the same thing that you are, and it's good just to talk to them. The VA also has a lot of good programs for veterans who have disabilities and talking about them and everything, and that was also an influence on my wanting to get out and perform and get the word out there about veterans who are not the same when they come back. I don't like the terms of, like, damaged goods or anything like that. But there's just something inside of you that changes, and you have to work at identifying that and realizing it, and so that the veteran himself can live a productive life and realize the effects that has on their family as well and their loved ones.
Well, I'm glad that you are talking about this subject. It's been a long-awaited topic. I have been a part of the military, and being a civilian, you know what they think about a civilian, so we literally bit, grit, and bear it, and we don't talk a whole lot about our experiences because we are not active duty members. However, I will talk a little bit about it tonight. Most people know that I've been abroad, but they don't know to what extent. And I will say that there is a haven. They're creating a haven for civilians now, and they're looking at them a little bit closely because now, even though they can't produce a DD-214, we do have a 50 to show that we've been abroad and that we've served in certain branches. So they're now looking at our benefits, and they're looking at what type of effect we might have had, and even our families. Now, here is where we have to look at how does it affect the families, because you might not be injured as an individual, the person, the service person, but your families could go through so many ordeals that they have to seek counseling and that they have to seek relief, because it's overbearing having a host nation work with you. It's overbearing when you go abroad and you are not sure about things. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of rushing, and a lot of not understanding how things work, no clarity, and especially if you're in a country where they speak another language, it could be a whole host of problems that can be set itself, waiting for your car to get shipped in, not having your housing logistics established, and especially if you're living off base and you're not living with the military, those can pose another problem. You're put into a community of non-speaking English people, and you expect to survive. So there's a lot of traumatizing, and even if you are not fighting side by side the soldiers, you're working with the families. And I found that through working with the families, I was right in the housing development with the military men and women and traveling with them to various different events that they had. So I felt like, you know, that we are basically going through something together, even though I didn't have to fight on the front line. When I went home, I had the same concerns about security and safety. And when they called for the 9/11, all of us who were there, active duty members and civilians, had the same type of fears when the banks closed and when they closed down all of the post office. We had the same anxieties and fears about will we make it home. I can remember making several phone calls trying to get through to someone on the radio about our condition. We were left on the base when the base was closed, and this is an untold story that hasn't even been talked about, our family being the last person left on the base because we were not military. They could not move us because they had no orders to move us. So we literally was left on the base, and my family was hysterical back home in the States, and so was my son. And this posed a big problem for us, because when we finally got someone on the line, they came and began to start to tell us that we had to have orders to be moved. And orders became a great, great deal. And without those orders, you can't do anything, as you know, Richard. And some of the things that militaries have to know is that the first thing is, you know, produce your orders, show your orders, because you cannot even be issued a voucher for food without an order. And this became a problem for us. And I made statistics, and I had to do a congressional order in order to request that the orders be given to me. And finally, I did receive my orders, but I had a problem where at that time my husband could not travel because he had no orders. So the orders became a serious problem for us. And even though we were left behind after 9/11, a lot of the news reporters didn't know this, but the story is being told now through my family about how you can be put in arms danger when you're left in an area where there's sleepers and you are not capable of getting American dollars to spend. We were fortunate enough that the Germans were allowing us to get our security deposit out of their banks to use. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had a chance to purchase a ticket to fly out of the country. So it was an ordeal for us, and it traumatized us. And now the veterans are asking me to be a part of helping them to set up a facility that will address issues that pertain to orders and helping the military to obtain the benefits. So I am obliged to help one of the lieutenants that's located at one of the universities in Chicago to help set up the VA room and to address the issues of not only the active duty members but the civilians as well. So I'd like for those phone lines to light up right about now. If we have military people out there, why don't you look alive, soldier? 646 478-0270. Call in. We have Richard Graham on the line, and he's talking about how writing can be a medicine unto you for those of you who might have suffered and have side effects from being abroad and not being fully debriefed. We're going to bring Richard right back on, and now that I've told you my story, you know a little bit about what I've gone through in the military, so that's why I can identify with what Richard is talking about. Richard, we're going to bring you back in the atmosphere and ask that you would give us some more information on what is going on for the veterans and how they can use this writing to help spare their souls.
Okay, sure. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know for me that it can be frustrating sometimes when it's you don't know how to express what you're feeling, at least not in spoken words at the time. But if you take the time to sit down and think about what you're feeling, write it down, and not necessarily in poetry, but maybe just like a journal or something like that, which I've used in the past, and just wrote down exactly what I was feeling. And no one ever has to ever see it, but it's a form of self-therapy that will definitely benefit you. And not only you, but those around you as well. And what should I say? One of the things that I really got to emphasize is that you can't really do it alone. Whether or not it's a loved one or another veteran, me myself, I find that sometimes talking to another veteran, regardless of what era they're from, really helps me a lot. One of my best friends is about 20 years or so older than myself. He's a Vietnam-era veteran. And we talk at least 2 to 3 times a week. And he helps me get through things that I might be having difficulties getting through. And it's just a great support system. There are plenty of veterans out there who are willing to talk to other vets about what they're going through and everything. And you just can't be shy. You got to reach out to them and let them know what you're feeling and what you're going through. And most veterans are like myself, and they're more than willing to help.
Well, you know, Richard, it's good that they got to reach out, because sometimes people don't know how to reach out, and I know exactly what you're saying, because I come from a very, very inundated family of service members. Two of my brothers were in Vietnam at the same time, and my uncle fought in World War II. So my brother and I talk frequently about our experiences abroad, and I can identify with what he had gone through in Vietnam, even though I wasn't on the front line. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Right.
And we want to invite those service members to call in right about now. And we're going to take a short station identification. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere, so stay tuned. All right, we're back. And that number again, ladies and gentlemen, is 646-478-0270, and we're talking to Richard Graham, and he is a retired veteran from the military. Richard, you have the atmosphere. Please invite the men in and tell them how urgent it is to find a way to exhaust themselves through writing, to talk about their issues so that they can be heard and they can heal themselves through a form of medicine.
Wow, I'm kind of at a loss of words. I guess if you're out there and you're listening, call in, and we can give some really great advice. Me, myself, I use my writing as a form of therapy. I find that it helps me a great deal, more than I can actually express in spoken words right now. And it's, first of all, if you feel a certain way, I know that when you're in the military, they program you that, or they train you to say that there's nothing you can't handle, there's nothing you can't do, which is true. And if you can go overseas and you can fight for your country, then why is it so hard to pick up a phone or walk next door and ask somebody to give you a hand? And I know that was one of the hardest things for me to do for a very, very long time, for a couple of decades. And then once I realized that all I needed to do was put it out there, it was funny. Well, not funny, but it was different because I was in a group setting one time at the VA, and I had read something that I had wrote. And afterwards, a couple of veterans who were in program with me came up to me and said, "You know what? I love that, man. That was some real stuff, you know. And it's not something we necessarily always hear in these rooms, but the way you did it and the way you said it and everything, that was some real stuff that we really liked." And they were from a different era than I was and everything, you know. And they asked, "Well, how did you do that?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know.
You're right. You're right. You talked to me about that the other day. Your poetry is very deep. And ladies and gentlemen, his poetry is extremely deep, and he writes from his soul. And I was so impressed with his writing. And I know exactly what you mean about keeping a journal. And when I went through what I went through abroad, the only way and only thing that kept me and helped me to survive was writing. And I wrote 2 volumes of poetry while abroad, and I'm now publishing them and trying to get them out there as much as I can. But they were something I couldn't release. I couldn't put it in a form of a CD because I held on to it and I was afraid to release it. But these were words that I was able to write to help me write about how I was feeling. So I say that it is my journey, and it allowed me to release all the anger I had about the things that I was going through without having to strike out at someone. So we can take our words and use them as a weapon, and our pencil becomes a weapon. And I'm going to ask Richard if he will read one of his poems and give us the ability to feel him again this evening. So would you please oblige us, Richard, in a poem?
Absolutely. Let me see. Pulled a couple out of my case. So I got one here. It's entitled "The Real Me." It's not really like I'll just read it and let everybody see what they think of it.
Okay.
"The Real Me. I believe I have found someone. Someone who can see the real me. Their eyes look into my soul. Deep inside me, they can see the real me. They easily break down all my walls that have protected me through all my falls. And they can see the real me. They reach inside and touch my soul that's felt alone and oh so cold. And they can see the real me. They're able to bring out the softer side of me, changing me forever. The same I will never be. And they can see the real me. Now I wonder what I do now that I'm wide open and can be hurt from all around. Because they can see the real me. They make me believe they'll bring no pain, that'll bring tears falling like the rain, and they can see the real me. So I tell her how she makes me feel, and if she wants, my heart is hers to steal, because she can see deep inside me, she can see the real me."
That was excellent. I really, really liked that one. And there was a lot of emotion shown. And ladies and gentlemen, we have Richard Graham on the line talking about healing himself through poetry. And I've done this before, so it's a deja vu. All of my work has been written through meditation. And basically, I write from the right side of my brain. And whatever I'm given during that particular meditation is what I write. I want to end up our session with this last poem called License to Preach. You'll be able to find this particular volume of poems out on my website entitled License to Preach. Step right up and get your license to preach. I'm not talking about all those who claim that they can teach, but they will need a license to preach. Now, you go to school to get the golden rule, but you'll find out that you need many more tools. When you realize that the schools only teach from one book, then in other resources you'll want to take a look. Now, one of these books is called The Book of the Dead. That's right. Did you hear what I said? It's The Book of the Dead. You want to read the Hosea and the Holy Tablets too. Hold up. I'm not finished talking to you. I'm not talking about those that claim that they can preach, but rather those that came to teach. They will need a license to preach. After you have labored over the word coming forth by day and night, you'll make up your mind rather to switch than to fight against the lies that have been told over the years that have weighed on our soul. Now, Moses didn't really bring in the 10th commandments, regardless of how this might sound. There's 42 negative confessions and 142 were already here for us to view. Now that we have the holy tablets, I know you'll just have to have them. I'm not talking about all those that claim that they can preach, but rather those that came to teach. They will need a license to preach. Now, no more teaching from the King James Version only, nor the Strong Concordance. I'm not reading from the other books as if they were the only one. No more myths, fallacies, and allegorical stories talking about how we're going to descend from a life of glory. No more heavens in the sky, though waiting to die for the sweet by and by in the sky. We must capture these lives for the years that have been reprised from teaching and preaching the words without miss. I wonder what we would have done if. I am not talking about those that claim that they can preach, but rather those that came to teach. They will need a license to preach. And thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. And the last words we're going to give to Richard as his recommendation to those soldiers out there for healing. And, Richard, I want to thank you for being on our show this evening. Can you give us one line of a last word of recommendation for the soldiers who would want to find an outlet to help themselves through the hard times?
There is a actually, for somebody who's in really, really hard times, there's a 1-800 number out there that I've used in the past for veterans. If you need to talk to somebody, it's completely anonymous that you can call. Unfortunately, I don't have it right here in front of me, but if you call the VA hospital in your area, they'll be more than happy to give you the number. And if I may add a political note, veterans out there, in order to keep the programs that we got and that are helping a lot of veterans out there, come November 6th, please vote to reelect our current president, Barack Obama, so we can keep these programs, because if he is not reelected, they are in jeopardy. They really, truly are, and you really just need to really look at that and check out all the information that's out there. The current president, Barack Obama, has done more for veterans than anyone has in the last three decades. So whenever you go to cast your vote on November 6th, please look at what he's done for veterans and helping and care for us that many presidents has forgotten about us. And that's all I got to say about that. Really, so.
Thank you so much, you know. Richard. And we're all out of time, ladies and gentlemen, but I know you're going to want to review this tape Please review it on demand and get up, you mighty race, because you can do something. Get out and get that voter in. You only have so much time left. You can vote out some people out if you have to, but I don't know what you do. Get out and get that vote. Thank you very much, Mr. for joining us. And we're going to lead you now.
Thank you.